So welcome to our Pulse podcast. At Pulse, our mission is to educate, empower, and inform by delivering actionable insights from leading specialists and experts. These insights are crucial for entrepreneurs and business owners as they navigate the complexities of rapid growth and business scaling. This month, our focus is on intellectual property, because knowing more about protecting and monetizing your IP assets is imperative for long-term success. Today, we are discussing trademarks, an essential element of IP. Our topic is how to select a strong trademark and why you should register it. Our guest, who brings a wealth of expertise in this field, is Stephen Yates, a highly respected partner at Adams & Adams, one of South Africa's premier intellectual property law firms. Stephen is an expert in trademark and copyright law with over 24 years of experience. He plays a pivotal role in the firm's trademark department and currently serves as the chair of the trademark prosecution department. Stephen's vast experience includes managing trademark portfolios, handling litigation around trademarks and copyright, and advising major brands like Woolworths, ShopRite, Checkers, and Discovery Channel. His work has earned him recognition as one of the world's leading trademark professionals, according to the WTR 1000. A ranking he has consistently held since 2011. He's also a co-author of the Practitioner's Guide to Intellectual Property Law in South Africa, further cementing his status as an authority in the field. Stephen holds both BCom and LLB degrees from the University of Johannesburg and is actively involved in advising local and international clients on intellectual property matters, including domain name disputes and e-commerce. Stephen, welcome to the podcast. We're excited to have you here today to shed light on this important topic.
Good morning, Myrna. Thank you very much. It's nice to be speaking to you, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
Thanks, Stephen. Let's dive right in. So for the benefit of our listeners, particularly to those in the process of scaling, I believe it's important to begin by covering the fundamentals. Could you provide an explanation of what constitutes intellectual property in South Africa?
Yes, certainly. There are different types of intellectual property which can be registered or which apply in most countries around the world, as well as in South Africa. While we'll be discussing mostly trademarks today, the other types of intellectual property include patents, registered designs, common law trademarks, which forms a part of the discussion we'll be having today, copyright, and confidential information. Of all of these, one always needs to consider what it is that you are trying to protect. So for example, with trademarks, you are typically trying to protect that badge of origin which identifies your business or your products or services. Okay, good examples are Coca-Cola or Pepsi, if I had to name them both in the same sentence. Copyright is not a right which is registrable in South Africa. It is an automatic right which usually accrues to the author of a work, and that would usually relate to creative works. So if you write a novel, or if you draw a picture or paint a painting, you would automatically own copyright in those items. There's sometimes a bit of an overlap between trademarks and copyright, because there could be copyright in a logo, which is then also registered as a trademark, but for purposes of enforcement and protection, we deal with them separately.
Okay.
The other two rights that I mentioned earlier are patents and registered designs. These are registered rights, and they relate typically to inventions, if you're talking about patents, and I'm talking about technical inventions. So a new type of locking mechanism, for example, or a new formulation for chemical some chemical formulation or new electronic system, for example. Patents would protect those, whereas registered designs would typically protect the shape or the look of an item. So you could have registered designs in relation to types of furniture or different types of shoes, for example. And all of these work together to give you your intellectual property portfolio as a business. So depending on what business you're in, you may be more focused on trademarks or you may be more focused on patents, but it's important to understand the difference between them.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. That's a great starting point. You mentioned trademarks as a badge of origin. Can you elaborate on that? What purpose do trademarks serve?
Right. So at its fundamental core, the point of a trademark is to enable a consumer to identify where the product is coming from or who is rendering that service. Okay. It is often it's referred to as a badge of origin, but it's also often an indication of quality. So if you're used to buying a particular product from one manufacturer, and that manufacturer starts making another product and they apply the same trademark to that product, you as a consumer would instantly recognize that trademark and assume that the same level of quality and attention to detail would have gone into the manufacturing of that product. So it really is the face of your business insofar as your clients are concerned, and it is that thing which will give somebody the ability to identify your products if they're looking for your products and to buy them, as opposed to one of your competitors' products.
Awesome. So when selecting on a trademark, many entrepreneurs wonder what kinds of words or names to choose when selecting a trademark. Which types of
Right.
words should one try and avoid when selecting a trademark?
Okay. Now, when we talk about trademarks, we often use the word or the description that your trademark has to be distinctive. And by distinctive, I mean that it needs to have the ability to distinguish your goods and services from those of another, okay, one of your competitors. Trademarks that you have to avoid and which are typically not distinctive are trademarks which are descriptive. So, bread for bread would be a very descriptive word. You could never register that as a trademark because it is not able to distinguish your bread from the bakery next door's bread. Okay. Other words which we recommend people avoid would be laudatory words. So laudatory would be words like gold or best or silver, and even quite frankly, sometimes star. These are all words that indicate that the product that you are selling is the best or is of the highest possible quality. But quite frankly, everybody says that. And because everybody uses those words, they are not distinctive. So we try and avoid descriptive or laudatory words. We also try and avoid words that are common to the trade. Okay, so if your competitors all use a certain word to describe their product, then it's descriptive on the one hand, but it's also going to be commonly used by everybody. And the reason you want to avoid those is because, again, they don't have the ability to distinguish. So if you bear that in mind, then the strongest types of trademarks are what we call coined terms or made-up words. And there are lots of examples of words like that. Kodak is one, even though the company's not doing so well now, but it's a really strong trademark. Others would be trademarks like Nokia, etc. Okay, there are many examples where people have made up a word. It has no meaning apropos the goods or the services. In other words, it doesn't describe the goods or services, and that will make it a really strong trademark. Now, there's always a little bit of tension between the marketers and the trademark attorneys, okay, because marketers like to use descriptive trademarks because it's easy. Your trademark describes the product, so it's easy to tell the consumer what they are buying. But the reality is that those descriptive trademarks will be difficult to register, even more difficult to enforce. And ultimately, while it may be easier initially marketing your products with a descriptive trademark, in the long run, you are going to spend a lot more money on trying to distinguish your products from those of your competitors. And, in a digital world, when a lot of us are spending a lot of money on search engine optimization, keyword registration, etc., with Google and the likes, if you have a very descriptive or a very common trademark, you're going to be paying a lot more per click to get people to come to your website. Whereas if you have made up a word and you've got a really distinctive, strong trademark, even though it's not descriptive, your clicks or your pay-per-click rate is going to be a lot lower, so you're going to save some money. So, you know, what we often recommend to clients is choose that highly distinctive made-up word as a trademark, but then add something else to it. So, for example, if you are using Kodak, let's use that as an example, you might use Kodak and then electronics below it. You're never going to get rights in electronics, but it shows people what you're about initially until you start to develop a reputation and goodwill in that trademark. And in due course, once the company's been running for, you know, for a couple of years, and once you've started to build up that reputation in the market, you can drop the electronics part because people will then know when they see Kodak, it means electronics.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. You've just walked straight into my next question, which was the possible drawbacks of selecting descriptive or common words as trademarks. So, are there additional drawbacks that you can think of when it comes to enforcing trademarks? The drawbacks of
Yes,
selecting the descriptive words.
of choosing descriptive words. So, what one needs to bear in mind is that a trademark registration is really a small monopoly that is given to you. Okay, so when you approach the registrar of trademarks, you are saying to the registrar, I would like to use this word in relation to these goods or services. Please give me the exclusive right to do that in South Africa. So it's a monopoly that's been granted to you. If you choose a word which already appears on the register in several other trademarks, let's say it's incorporated in other trademarks, or it is quite descriptive to the extent that the registrar is not prepared to give you that exclusive right, it means that even though you might get to the point where the registrar allows registration of your mark, it's going to be very difficult to enforce it because other parties are going to say, hang on, your trademark registration doesn't have the ability to distinguish. So when you try and attack a competitor for using your trademark, the very first thing they're going to do is to counterattack your trademark registration and ask for it to be removed. So that makes it very difficult. It also makes it difficult if you have a very common word that you're using as your trademark or descriptive word. It makes it difficult to go onto the company's register or to go onto the trademarks register or to do searches on Google to see whether there are other parties using the same mark and to take action against them because you're going to type in that word and they're just going to be hundreds. And, you know, it's really not worth investing in something like that at that point. So from a trademarks perspective, it is super important to check before you start using the trademark that it is available. To make sure that it is a strong trademark, and then from there to build on it. Because if you choose a weak trademark from the outset, you will never be able to create that brand value that you ultimately want to have in a strong trademark when you decide, for example, to license or to sell your business, if that is your ultimate goal.
Thanks, Stephen. That's incredibly insightful. So before someone registers a trademark, is it advisable to conduct searches prior to filing trademark applications?
Yes, it certainly is. And there are many ways to do these searches. The ultimate search that you're going to want to do is to approach a trademark specialist to do a search for you of the trademarks registry, the company's registry, and also to do some online searches. That is what we would do to give you the final go-ahead. What I do recommend, though, to clients before you approach your attorney or before you approach a trademark specialist is do some searches yourself by simply going online and using Google. You know, if you have a particular trademark in mind, go into Google, type that in and see what comes up. If you get hundreds of results for other businesses in the same industry as you, then it's clearly not a good trademark to use. Okay, you can do Google searches. You can use Google to limit to the country that you're in, South Africa, for example, or other countries. It's quite a strong tool from that perspective. And of course, it doesn't cost you anything to use Google to do those searches. If you have an account with the CIPC in South Africa, you can even go in and do some searches on the company's register. You can do some basic trademark searches even without having to incur costs. But when you've gone through that process, if you still haven't found anything, in other words, it's looking good based on your searches, We strongly recommend that you then get a trademark professional to do a full availability search for you. And the reason why I make that recommendation is in South Africa, once you file a trademark application, it will take the registrar between 8 to 12 months, roughly, to examine your application. At that point, the registrar will say to you, I'm prepared to accept your application, or no, I'm not going to accept your application. But if you have not done a trademark search, it means that you have, for a period of 8 to 12 months, been using that trademark, marketing, advertising, printing, packaging, etc., only to run the risk that the registrar is going to tell you that it's a no-go after that period. So it's crazy to not do a trademark search before you start using it, quite frankly. It's going to cost you some money up front. You will get an indication of what the risk involved is, because you're never going to get an absolute yes or no answer. Those searches, or the searches that we do, for example, are very widespread. We're going to find lots of different trademarks out there. And if you do it through a law firm, for example, typically you will get a report saying to you, your risk involved here is high, in which case, turn around and choose a different trademark. Or they will say your risk is in the medium to low range, or we think there is a slight risk here, but we are able to manage it by doing X, Y, and Z. So you'll get that analysis from whoever's done that trademark search for you. And that will then indicate to you what risk you face. And anything more than a medium risk, you may want to avoid. Or if there is a high risk mark, you may even be in a position to approach the owner of that trademark and say, would you sell the trademark to me? There are lots of ways to skin that cat. Okay. But the point is, you need to do the search to know what you're dealing with and to give you the confidence to start investing in the business and investing in your marketing and branding, at least for that first year period or 8 to 12 months period, until the registrar comes back and says, you're good to go.
Wow, thank you, Stephen. That's incredibly insightful. At least everybody understands now, the benefits of contacting an attorney and getting this done beforehand, and what costs it would save them down the line.
Yeah. But I
That's
mean, and sorry to interrupt, the point is go do those Google searches first, because if you don't, you're going to be paying an attorney a fair amount of money. It's not crazy expensive, but it's also not nothing. You might be paying that attorney that money to for him just to go and do that Google search. It's almost the first thing we do when we get an instruction, because quite often we go back to the client and we say, guys, if you just did this, we could have told you straight away that you shouldn't even be looking at this mark. So do your own homework beforehand. Make sure that you are quite comfortable that there isn't a risk. And then when you instruct the attorney, you know that they're going to be doing the detailed search and giving you a proper report, but you are going to be getting value for your money when you get that report back, because it's not just going to be a simple, yes, there's a problem. You could have picked this up yourself. Sorry, you can't go ahead.
Definitely. So, in light of that information, understanding now what doing this process properly would save you in the long run, and also doing the homework yourself, incredibly important as well. So, understanding that the registration of a trademark sounds expensive, but what it saves you is incredibly important.
Yes, that's very true. And with trademarks, people often think that the cost of registering a trademark is exorbitant. It really isn't. It's not that expensive. Contact your attorney, get a quote, understand what the costs are. But bear in mind that of all the types of intellectual property, trademarks is the or a trademark is the only intellectual property right which you can continue to renew every 10 years for as long as you want. There's no limit on the age of a trademark. All the other types of IP we discussed, patents, copyright, and registered designs, have an expiry date. Okay. They will eventually run out and your monopoly will be gone. But that is not the case with trademarks. So it is worth investing in trademarks, making sure that your portfolio is in good shape so that when you need to enforce your trademark, you're able to do so. Or when you start having discussions with somebody about buying your business, You're able to show that you've got good governance, a clean trademark portfolio, and therefore that the value attributable to it is fair and hopefully higher.
It is excellent advice, Stephen, especially for our listeners. So, to wrap things up, do you have any final thoughts or advice for our listeners when it comes to protecting their trademarks and intellectual property?
Yes. I think if I were to think of the examples that I've dealt with before, we often run into situations where customers, where they've started a business, they've selected a trademark, they've been running for 3 or 4 years, and it's really gaining momentum and traction, only for them to run into a third party claiming that they must stop using their trademark. And if they are forced into doing it, they're often back to square one. So avoid that by firstly selecting a strong trademark. And if you're not sure about, what we've discussed earlier about descriptive or laudatory words, call your trademark attorney and say, I've got this in mind, or I've got that in mind. What do you think? Clients will often call me and have a couple of ideas, and I will say, well, numbers 1 and 3 are absolute rubbish, but let's look at 2, and it's just a phone call away. And most trademark attorneys would be happy to have that discussion with their clients. So firstly, select a strong trademark. Okay. Avoid the that or try and avoid going for those easy to market descriptive words. Secondly, once you've selected a mark, make sure that you register your trademark, and bear in mind that trademarks are registered in most countries on a national basis. So if you are going to use your trademark in South Africa, you need to register in South Africa. But if you are planning to expand, say, to Mozambique or to Zambia or the US or EU, whatever it may be, you need to go through the same process for each jurisdiction where you're going to use that trademark. Okay. There's no, certainly as a South African company, there's no worldwide protection available to you at the click of a button. And then once you've registered your trademark, keep an eye on your trademark registrations to make sure that they stay current. So, for example, if you've registered a logo and if your logo changes, get in touch with your trademark attorney and say, I've changed it. Are we able to amend the registrations, or do we need to file new applications? There are always ways to look at making sure that your registrations remain current and are enforceable. And then finally, make sure that you enforce your rights. If you have a strong trademark and you realize that a competitor is using the same trademark, take action immediately. Don't sit back and wait and say, well, it's not really affecting me right now. I'll do something about it later. It makes it more and more difficult. If you leave that to fester, it makes it more and more difficult to enforce your rights at a later point, because the counter argument would be, when you eventually do approach them after a couple of years, the counter argument's going to be, well, our use of this trademark hasn't really been a problem for you up to now, which means it hasn't really caused confusion. You haven't suffered damage. Why now? And so I would recommend that you stay on top of it and make sure that you enforce those rights once you've got them.
Definitely, definitely. Wow. You really opened my eyes to quite a few important points, and not just from an entrepreneurial perspective, but also specialists in marketing. There are key points that you've brought in that people need to be aware of.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. I've just thought of something which I didn't mention earlier, if I could
Yes.
just chip in again. When people think of registering trademarks, their first thought is that I will have to register this trademark to take action against infringers. And yes, that's a part of why you register a trademark. For me, there are two more important reasons. The second reason why you want to register a trademark is to ensure that other parties can't stop you from using that trademark. Okay, so in South Africa, if you have a trademark registration, that is an absolute defense to infringement. So once you've got it registered, you know you can use it, and no one's going to interfere with your business. The third, and in my view, probably the most important reason to register your trademark, is when you want to sell your business, you will inevitably be, if you're approached by somebody and they want to buy your business, they will indicate that they have a price in mind. And then they'll say, but we just want to do a due diligence quickly. One of the first things that's going to come up is that your trademarks are not properly registered. I can guarantee you that that purchase price, which was bandied about initially, is going to come down substantially on the basis that, well, there's risk in your trademark portfolio because your marks are not registered, they'll have to incur costs, all kinds of reasons will come up. So if you want to get full value for your business at the end of the day, make sure your portfolio is in tip-top shape.
Wow, now that's impactful, especially for people who are having a look at what it's like to expand globally. So this is critical advice. So thank you for sharing those invaluable insights with us today, Stephen. It's
It's a
clear
pleasure.
selecting and protecting your trademarks is not just a legal formality, but a critical investment in the future of your business. Yeah. So this brings us to the end of today's Pulse podcast. At Pulse, we believe that knowledge can be powerful, and knowing, protecting, and monetizing your intellectual property is a fundamental part of scaling a sustainable business. To our listeners, thank you for joining us today. If you found today's episode insightful, stay tuned as we continue to explore insights in the coming months. Please comment on the podcast and keep the conversation going. We look forward to engaging you on the next Pulse podcast.